grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, the scripture reading for this morning can be found in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. 1 Samuel 2, verses 1 through 11. Let us first sing from Psalter 166, stanzas 1 through 4. Praise waits in Zion, Lord, for thee, and unto thee shall vows be paid. O thou that hearest those who cry to thee, and by all shall prayer be made. 1 through 4 of Psalter 166.
Before we read a portion of God's Word, we will place ourselves under God's holy law. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. 1 Samuel chapter 2, the first 11 verses. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiced in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren had borne 7, and she that had many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and a child that minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest.
We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. DePuter, who may come home from the hospital in this past week. Mr. and Mrs. Ben van Hagenbos, who were blessed with a well-born boy in this past week. My wife and I were also blessed with a well-born grandson in this morning. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, when we have sung out of thy word in these moments, against us sin has battled hard. For help we look to thee and pray. Then may it also have touched the heart of thy children in this moment. For thou knowest all their life and all that comes against them from day to day and from moment to moment. And that they may come unto thy house upon thy day, and that is their delight and their desire, because they find no help in this world. And they find no fulfillment in all that is here below. And then when it is right in their life, then they are longing and they are looking that thou would in thy house look upon them for a moment. Lord, that thou givest unto us this day is a blessing which is not to be compared to many blessings in this life and for all that is temporal here below. And by nature we do not see and we do not understand it. Thy blessings, they go unheeded by us. And perhaps it is even for us in this morning a burden that we must come up unto thy house. O Lord, thou art able in one moment to make it so different in our life. And by that new birth that thou alone art able to give, and that thou sayest is so necessary, and then thou art able to grant us eyes to see what our state and condition is, and thou art able to give us hearts to weep because of our iniquity and our sin. And this we cannot give unto ourselves as we go hard and cold-hearted over this world and seeking all that is here below to our great detriment. Oh, that thou mayest show us while it is still a day of grace what the seriousness of our life is, that we may no longer seek after all that is perishing, but at that substance that thou speakest of in thy holy word, and may become for us our treasure above, and that we may long seeing our missing of that greatest blessing to be included amongst thy children. Oh, that we also with our children may for thy great name's sake be taken from that darkness of nature wherein we are born, and that we may be shown thy marvelous light. Oh, that thou would open our eyes and our understandings in this day and under thy holy word, for it shall only testify against us except thou as the great light from above dost shine upon it. Oh, that thou dost shine within our hearts as that day spring that is from on high. Oh, that thou may give to us open eyes to see ourselves, to mourn our own sin and transgression, our state due to our deep fall in Adam. Oh, show to us our great filth and our wretchedness. But wilt thou also open unto us thy only begotten Son, in whom thou art so well pleased, but we are not so well pleased with him. And by nature there is enmity, And even after receive grace, there is no place for him until thou wilt open our eyes to the depth of our fault, and that thou mayst show unto us the impossibility, that thou may open unto us the depth of our guilt, and that our hands, they are weak, that we have become weak through the flesh, and that that covenant in our father Adam is so broken, and that there is no way anymore return unto thee. Oh, when thou wilt so reveal thyself in the midst of that wretchedness experienced in the life of thy children, oh, then they in that moment shall rejoice. Oh, then their hearts shall leap for joy. Oh, then their eyes shall see and their hearts shall believe. And then thy name can receive honor and it can receive glory. Already beginning here below. Oh, Lord, there is so much in thee and in thy only begotten Son to be praised, to be magnified. It will take a great eternity for thy children to magnify thee. For that salvation that thou hast wrought, oh, that thou may give, that by moments also in this life, they may be given so to rejoice, and that also those about them, oh, when we are so dead in sins and in trespasses, that there may come a moment, that our hearts may become jealous, oh, that that portion of thy people, that may become so valuable in our eyes, that we may receive hearts that may go into our inner chambers, and that may say, Lord, I am lost, lost, lost. Oh, that I have sinned against thee. Oh, that thou thyself would come and do for me what I cannot do unto myself. Oh, that thou may show unto the children, unto the young people, that we have to die, and that we cannot die, and that we are not able to stand before thy judgment seat. Oh, that in the days of their youth and in their childhood, and the tender years in a natural way, oh, that the hearts may be broken, and that the spirits may be made contrite. Oh, that the tears may be given to flow in the secret places, and that thou from heaven may hear the cry of those who are in that land of Egypt under the bondage of sin, and that are experiencing the taskmasters, that to say fulfill thy tasks when it is so impossible. Oh, Lord, that that cry may come to thee. Thou didst deliver thy people. Thou madest them to rejoice. Oh, that thou may look also upon us and upon our dear children, and the time that hastens away. And we and our children, we are going each one of us unto our long home. That time is short, that time is serious. It flies away even as a breath, as a vapor. It is disappearing in a moment. And in our foolishness, then we tell ourselves that we have such a long time still upon this world. But we are deceivers of our own selves. Oh, Lord, convert us, convert us, convert us. Remember thy dear children. Thou knowest also the place where they occupy in this morning. Oh, that thou may be near unto them, and that thou may visit them. Thou knowest their desires, and thou knowest all their impossibilities, that from their side, that there is no strength, there is no wisdom. Oh, then they have to say, Lord, I do not know the way, and that I have left thee days without number. And then their guilt that is rising unto heaven continually more and more. Oh, then it is so necessary that thou may feed those to whom thou hast given life, and that they also may be nourished by spiritual meat and drink. Oh, that they may be given to eat of that bread of life, and that they may be given to drink a little of that fountain of living waters. Oh, that their hearts may be drawn nearer unto thee, that they may love thy house, that they may love thee more and more. Oh, that thou may open unto them what thou hast accomplished in thy only begotten Son. And therein is their rest. Oh, therein is their peace. Therein they may receive comfort in this life and in death. O Lord, we beseech thee, open him in this morning hour. Open thy word that we also, as thy servant, may be given to enter into those mysteries, and that we may be given to take forth the precious from the vial. That we may be given so to eat and to drink ourselves, and that we may be given food from thee. When we have nothing, that we may hand it out only to thy children, and that thou may take new ones and into thy kingdom in this day. In the midst of us, oh, we can sing it sometimes out of thy word. How that both rich and poor, both bond and free, they shall worship thee with bended knee. Oh, thou knowest where that they shall come from, and they shall come from the north and from the south, and they shall come from the east and from the west, but shall they also come from among us and from our children? Oh, shall we go lost Under the preaching of thy word, under the reading of thy word, with so much knowledge, only one day to all eternity, to have it burn in our conscience, and that thou hast called unto us, but we would not have thee to reign over us. O Lord, prevent it. O thou, become thou too strong for us in this hour. And become thou too strong for us in this day. And take thou us in thy mercy from by heart and by hand. And lead us from that broad way wherein we travel to eternity, unto through that narrow gate, and to walk upon that narrow way. Lord, that thou may remember all those that need thee. Thou hast brought a mother and wife home from the hospital such a long time that she has been in those places. And thou hast now brought her home. O Lord, that all the thanks may be unto thee. For thou knowest the many fears that lived in her and in her family together in the months that have gone by. And thou hast made it thus far so well again. Thou hast spared her life, and thou hast given her a little more time before that thou wilt take her away. Oh, that thou may grant unto her a heart to weep before thy throne, and that earnestness that may cry to thee while it is still a day of grace. Wilt thou remember all the afflicted and all the sick ones, those that are in the hospitals and those that are in institutions of mercy, those that are in our own care home, those that have become old, and thou knowest where they are and the many ailments of this life, and that thou may visit them from above, and that thou may strengthen them in the body, that thou may prepare them for what is coming. And because that last enemy to be destroyed is death, and who can go over that Jordan without thee? O Lord, then there can be so many fears. Oh, that thou may visit even in the last days, and that thou may supply from on high on that journey to eternity. Lord, that thou may remember also the young. There have been those that have been united in that bond of holy matrimony in the week that is gone by. Others hope to marry. O Lord, that thou may remember each and every one of them. in the youth and in the strength of their life. Oh, then they make vows before thee. That thou may grant unto them to see also the seriousness of those vows, and that they may be given also to see something of that blessed relation, and that is between thee and thy church, that there may come a hunger, that there may come a desire in the young hearts also, that thou would say unto their soul, I am married unto you. Lord, that thou may remember also our brother elder and his wife and children. Oh, it is in this day that eldership that is laid down. For the last time, then he will sit amongst us in the benches. But Lord, thou knowest also what is before him. Thou givest that he may now do another work. Lord, that thou may remember him in this, and that thou may be near unto him in the studies which he must do in the years to come. Give him a little rest. Give him a contemplation. Give him a little trust, Lord, that thou will do everything, that thou who callest, who will also perform it, that he may be given to leave it all with thee, and that he may be given in these years a good time, that he may experience much of thy love and the instruction of thee, much of thy favor in the way that he is going, and that he may be used as an instrument and as a tool in thy hand in the midst of our congregations for the breaking down of the kingdom of Satan, and for the bringing in of thy kingdom, for the instruction, for the comfort of thy church. Remember thou his wife, his children, those that go with, those that remain behind. Supply for them in the future. Wilt thou remember those who have received well-born children? Remember the mother, strengthen them, and the children. Wilt thou give thankful hearts unto the parents, humble under thy great goodness, and give to feel something of the seriousness also of these blessings, that they may have a desire to bring them up truly in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and that thy house may be for them their desire. Lord, that thou may remember them in thy mercy. Wilt thou look upon all thy servants? Wilt thou supply for them on thy day? Give that him also that yet labors in this community and will be, and the Lord willing, in our midst in this afternoon hour again, help him yet once more in this day in the language of the land. And wilt thou supply also for thy servant who is not here in these days, but who hopes to return again soon in the future. Thou givest a little strength again. Wilt thou supply and strengthen him in the future? Help us too. Lord, bless the means that we do use for the complete recovery of our body, that we may be able fully to do the labors here in our flock once again, if it could please thee. And wilt thou supply for us as a consistory? Help us in this hour. Lord, thou knowest our foolishness. Thou knowest our weakness. Thou knowest all that we stand in need of. And thou hast called us. And when thou hast said, I have put my words in thy mouth. And if thou takest forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. We know not how to do it. But Lord, could it please thee to help us? Make it an easy and a loving task in this hour. Show thyself to be our God. And show that we are thy servant. And that it is thy mouth that speaketh. forgive our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 161, stanzas 1 through 5. My soul in silence waits for God. My Savior, He has proved, He only is my rock and tower. I never shall be moved. We announced that there will be no consistory meeting this week. Also, the school board meeting has been changed and hopes to be held this week, Thursday. The last collection today is for the disaster fund, and that is in a special way for the relief that is necessary for our Corsica and Rock Valley churches. Psalter 161, stanzas 1 through 5. congregation, the words of our text. You can find in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, 1 Samuel 2, and thereof the first and the second verses. 1 Samuel 2, verses 1 and 2. And Hannah prayed, and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." So far the words of our text. Hannah's rejoicing, first, in what she rejoices. She says, "I rejoice in thy salvation." Second, the manner of her rejoicing. And we read, "My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies." And third, in whom she rejoices. She says, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." Thus, Hannah's rejoicing, first, in what she rejoices. Second, the manner of her rejoicing. And third, in whom she rejoices. "I rejoice in thy salvation." There are, congregation, two ends to which you and I are traveling. That is all. It is either to one end, or it is to the other end. Our children know what those ends are. That is heaven or hell. And in heaven, there is only rejoicing. And in hell, there is only despairing. There is only sorrowing. There is only mourning. Heaven and hell. And how is it in this life? In this life, there is both. In this life, there is weeping. And in this life, there is rejoicing. How much weeping there is in this world. Why? Because of the consequences of our sin. So much misery. So much pain. So much suffering. So much sorrow. Weeping. But now, little weeping there is in this world because of sin itself. How is that with us? On the other hand, there is also much rejoicing in this world. There is much foolish rejoicing. That is a rejoicing in all the entertainments of this world. How is that with us, parents, young people? Or is it our desire that we may receive and that we may rejoice in all the entertainments and all wherein this world foolishly rejoices. That is a weeping, that is a rejoicing. We can read in God's Word that is going to be turned into weeping. But then there is another rejoicing. There is also much of that in this world. That is also a foolish rejoicing. That is a very superficial rejoicing. And yet it is a religious rejoicing. It is very loud. If we read a little further in the chapters to come, then we will see that the people of Israel also rejoiced. They rejoiced when the Ark of God came into the camp. And when that Ark of God was there, then they rejoiced so loud that we read the earth rang again. Oh, do we not hear it by times? A rejoicing by times in a religion in this world. So that as it were, that the earth that rings again. But that rejoicing, that was too early. And that rejoicing did not have the right foundation. Because it was not a rejoicing in God. But it was a rejoicing in an external religion. It was a rejoicing because that Ark of God may be in their midst. And soon that rejoicing also, that's not only the rejoicing of this world, but also that religious rejoicing that had not that right foundation, that right substance, that not that right object, that also was turned soon into mourning. Oh, how much rejoicing, foolish rejoicing. And yet, congregation, then there is also another rejoicing that is going on in this world. That is a rejoicing that is not foolish. No, that is a rejoicing that is actually a beginning. A beginning of that rejoicing that we have just spoken of that is taking place before that throne of God in glory. A little bit of that rejoicing that is taking place here already in this world. And that is now that rejoicing that we are reading of here in the words of our text. There is a people in this world that are commanded by the Lord to mourn. We can read that in different places in the prophecies of God's Word. That the Lord says unto the careless women that they should weep and that they should tremble, that they should strip themselves, that they should gird sackcloth on their loins. Thus the people who are commanded to weep and to mourn before the Lord. We can also read in God's Word of a people who are commanded by the Lord to rejoice. You can read that of the children of Israel. And when they are going through the wilderness and they were to commemorate their feast days and the Lord, when they had, for example, children, they had to commemorate that Feast of Tabernacles. Then they had to make themselves booths. And then the Lord says to them, you shall rejoice. You may not mourn, you may not weep. And so that was to be in those feast days when they brought the sacrifices before the Lord. And why was it that the Lord says, you may not weep? All they were to rejoice in those sacrifices, because that was now a picture of the rejoicing of that true church of God. Oh, how many do rejoice that ought to weep? And how many weep that ought to rejoice in this world? Because Christ, he says, blessed are they that weep now. Blessed are they that mourn. They shall laugh. They shall be comforted. But what do we read in our text? We read that Hannah, she says, I rejoice in thy salvation. What kind of a rejoicing is that? That is a rejoicing over enemies. Because we read here, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. Thus, children, what kind of a rejoicing is that? You can see that then in your mind. And when that army is going out to battle, and they have enemies, and those enemies, they have strength. And then there is also always that question when they are going out to battle. Is now that strength of that enemy greater than my strength? Because if that enemy's strength is greater than my strength, then it will not go well with me. That enemy desires my life. He desires my destruction. And so we see that army that is coming back again from the battle. And then that enemy that is rejoicing. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. Oh, what kind of a rejoicing is that? Of that army that is returning from that battle. Moses. He says, such an army, they have a distinct rejoicing, a distinct sound. You can hear it, because Moses, when he came down from the mountain, and that people he heard singing, he says, what is that? Or he says, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery that I hear. Neither is it the cry of them that are being overcome that I hear. Thus he said, those are two distinct sounds. It is the sound of those that shout for mastery that is recognizable. It is the sound of those that cry for being overcome that is also distinguishable, recognizable. They are those two sounds. They are the two sounds that will forever and forever resound, both in glory and that eternal pit. Oh, what will be that sound that will come forth out of our mouth to all eternity? The church congregation has enemies. Do you also have enemies? Maybe not so much perhaps in a natural way, but in a spiritual way. If you have no enemies, then you are not of the church of God. You cannot be. Why not? Because at this time, there are two parts to the true church. That is the church militant and the church triumphant. Thus, militant and triumphant both have to do with what, children? Enemies. Enemies. The one is still fighting an enemy, and the other is victorious over the enemy. Thus, if we have not an enemy, then we are not part of the church militant. And if we have not an enemy, we are also not part of that church triumphant. Do you have enemies? What are the enemies of God's church? They are threefold. That is, the devil himself. He is not by nature our enemy, because we are born in our father Adam, and Adam has made of him a friend. Thus, is he your enemy? Sin. That is not by nature our enemy. But there is coming a time that the Lord is making sin to be the enemy of his people. Is it your enemy? The world. The world is not by nature our enemy. But if you will ask God's people, then they may tell you something of what is living in their heart concerning the world. You say, has not Christ defeated the enemy? That is true. The Lord said to the devil, he said, it shall bruise thy head. That was the promised child. It shall bruise thy head. That means it shall be victorious over you. It shall destroy you. And so we may consider together how that he has destroyed that enemy upon that cursed tree. And that he has declared that warfare against that enemy to be finished. But then there was another part that the Lord has spoken to that devil. And the Lord says, it and it shall bruise, and thou shalt bruise his heel. What does that mean? The Lord said to the devil, thou shalt bruise the heel of Christ. That is, that the Lord will give the permission, the liberty for a time that he may persecute that church of Christ. And thus Satan, as the enemy of the people, he is pursuing, and sin is pursuing. And the world is pursuing that it may bring that true church of God to destruction. There is a great difference whether sin pursues us or we pursue sin. That is a great difference. Do you understand that, young people? Because for one, it is a grief. And for the other, it is their life. Hannah, she says, I rejoice in thy salvation. What kind of rejoicing is that? That is a rejoicing over enemies. We want to see in our second thought the manner of this rejoicing. And what do we read? We read, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. What does that mean? Oh, my mouth that is opened. My mouth is given to speak. My mouth is enlarged. My mouth that is given to open wide. It is given freedom that I may speak against mine enemies. How is that with us? Do we know that also? Is that so? That we know this? Do you say also, yes, also my mouth that is enlarged over mine enemies? We would like to ask you for a moment, how did that now take place in your life? That your mouth was enlarged over your enemies. And you say, oh, that was when I made that blessed choice. When I made that choice with Moses, rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. All from that moment in my life. And then my heart has hated sin. From that moment in my life, then sin has become mine enemy. It was from that moment in my life that I have fled from sin. Then I have drawn up the drawbridge. Because I could not live in that sin anymore. Oh, from that moment, my life that has become so different. Because from that moment in my life, then the love of the Lord is become the rule of my life. And when that love of the Lord that is burning in my heart, then I am fleeing more and more from sin. Then I am leaving those paths. Then I am cleaving unto the Lord in His service. Then that is my delight. And when I may leave those paths of sin, oh, then the devil, he is quiet. Then the devil, he cannot bring his accusations. And so you see then that my mouth that is enlarged over mine enemies, is that your life? Is that how that you may now speak unto the devil? Congregation, if that is our life, then we are nothing more than a rich young ruler. If that is how our mouth is enlarged over our enemies, then we are in the gall of bitterness. Then we are in the bond of iniquity. Then we have never seen light. Then we deceive ourselves for a great eternity. If that is our way, then we would say, repent of this thy wickedness, and repent of this thy self-righteousness, and repent of this thy work holiness, because it cannot appear before God. That is not the deliverance of the Lord. That is a do-it-yourself religion. That is a help-yourself religion. That is a religion that glorifies myself. But in it there is no honor unto God. What is now that way that Hannah, as she may rejoice over her enemies, that is so different? And then in the first place we would see how that there was a time that Hannah did not rejoice over her enemies. There was a time that Hannah's mouth was closed upon all the rejoicing of that enemy. When Peninnah mocked, then you do not read that Hannah could say one word. And now this is that life of that true people of the Lord, that they have no words to say. What can they say? And when they are under the persecution of that triple-headed enemy, when they are under the persecution of sin, or when they find in their own heart place for sin, a love for sin, a cleaving unto sin, or how their mouth that is so closed, when they experience that it is in themselves wickedness, when they experience that it is within themselves son of Adam, no, then their mouth that is not enlarged over that enemy. No, it is just the opposite. Because then they are fearing that that enemy that is one day going to overtake them completely. No, then their mouth that is not enlarged over their enemies, and when that enemy is pursuing them with temptation, that is that object of desire in that bosom sin that lives within their heart, when that object of their desire is placed before their eyes, and when they may be left for a moment by the Lord, and when they are falling once again in life or in heart, is their mouth then enlarged over their enemies? It is the opposite. Then the enemy is mocking, and their mouth that is so very closed, or how their mouth is closed under the hardness of their heart. Can they say unto the enemy then to be gone? How their mouth is closed when their heart that is so utterly cold and seemingly dead. All pursued by sin. Pursued by the world. Do they rejoice over the world? Is their mouth enlarged over that enemy? when over and over again they have to experience in their heart the earthly mindedness, the worldliness, the cleaving unto everything that is temporal, and that they are not able to overcome this wretchedness that is living daily within their heart. Is there then mouth then enlarged over that enemy of the world? The world is mocking, and they are silent. And the devil, when he is coming with his proposals and his instigations to unbelief, there is no God. There is no hope. The Lord, he does not look at such. Look at your afflictions. Curse God and die. No, then their mouth is not enlarged over their enemies. Oh, Hannah, she does not say, I rejoice in my salvation. Do you know what she says? She says, I rejoice in thy salvation. Thy salvation. Do you know what she says? She says, my horn is exalted in the Lord. What is a horn, children? A horn that is on an animal, and that is a symbol of strength. Strength. And now what does Hannah say about strength? She says, my horn is exalted in the Lord. My strength that is exalted in the Lord. Oh, where does she say her strength comes from? She says that strength that comes from the Lord alone. The Lord said to Paul, my strength that is made perfect in thy weakness. That is now that church of God in themselves no strength. Jehoshaphat, he says, we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. But what does he say? He says, our eyes are upon thee. When does the church of God grow out of that? Say, when they mature. No. No, they do not grow out of that. Not until their last breath in this world. Who is there today? Who of us that thinks that we are able to overcome one sin? Did you ever try it? To fully overcome it in your life? In your words, in your thoughts, in the desires, in the motives that are living in your heart. If the Lord will have mercy on us, then he will show to us that it is so different. Because Peter also thought he had strength. Then the Lord withdrew his hand for a moment. And then Peter, He had to experience that he had no strength. Congregation has sinned. Has the world, has the devil become an enemy in your life? Because if that is so, then we are going to experience weakness, weakness every day. Is that your experience? But then, there will also be something else. Then we will also by moments experience strength. But that is now from another side. Let us sing Psalter 317, 1 and 3. Oh, praise the Lord, for He is good. Let all in heaven above and all His saints on earth proclaim His everlasting love. And what follows in 1 and 3 of 317. Our last thought, in whom Hannah rejoices, my horn is exalted in the Lord. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. There is none holy as the Lord. What does that mean, holy? holy congregation, that is, that means to be set apart. That is, as we say, boys and girls, like this house. You say that is just a building, yes. But that building that is set apart, that has a special purpose. We do not use that for everything. We use that especially for the service of the Lord. Thus, to be holy, that is to have a very special place, set apart from all others. And now Hannah, she says, there is none holy as the Lord. She says, there is none holy as God. There is none so set apart from every other creature in this world as the Lord. That is the estimation that is living in that heart of Hannah. She desires to sanctify Him, or that He would be set apart also in the eyes of others. Because she says, there is none beside thee. Oh, you see the preparation. And that Hannah, as she is receiving for glory. Because in glory there is a rejoicing. And that is a rejoicing only in God. There is none holy as the Lord. Did you ever so rejoice? How is it now that a man, that a woman, a boy or girl, they may be given to see it as Hannah saw it? We don't see it that way by nature, do we? That the Lord is so set apart. That the Lord is so holy. We do not magnify Him. How is it now that the Lord is giving in the life of His children that they may, as Hannah, all that they may desire from the bottom of their heart, so to lift Him up and to magnify His great and His glorious name? Do you know how the Lord does it? The Lord, He reveals in the heart of that people His strength. That is, in the midst of their weakness, that is, in the midst of that warfare, because of those enemies, that people, they experience what? Their weakness. And what does that mean? That means death. That means destruction. But now, when the Lord will show to them, and that is for the one in one way and for the other in another way, but the Lord is opening to them something. How does the Lord do that? It is by word and by spirit. Out of His holy word. And then the Lord is opening the eyes of the people. And then He shows them something. Oh, He gives them to look once. In all their fear. And in all that battle. He gives them to look once upon that warfare that Christ has fought. And what is now the fulfillment of that word that the Lord has promised already from the beginning? It shall bruise thy head. And then the people may see that that head of Satan is bruised upon that cursed tree. Oh, friends, what is happening in that moment? In that moment of the opening of the eyes of that people. Then it is becoming, in that moment, that they may be able to say with Hannah, "Oh, my mouth that is enlarged over mine enemies." One look by a true saving faith upon that blessed Son, the devil cannot stay there. That is a place the devil has to flee from. Oh, when the Lord will open to that people and that paid price, then they have an answer for the devil. At the accusations of the devil, do you know what he says? He says, "You cannot stand at that judgment seat of God. You have sinned. You are guilty." And what do that people have to say? "Oh, for such a long time, their mouth is closed. So closed, because they have to say that you are right." But when the Lord now will open this, when the Lord will show them the smallest part, then the Lord is opening their mouth that they may give an answer to that prince of darkness. That they may say, "O devil, it is true. No, it is worse than you say. Worse, because not only have I sinned, but I am sin. Oh, then I cannot live without sin. And I cannot win that battle. But devil, the Lord, he has showed me something else. I have seen it. For just a moment, I've seen the power in it. That is, that warfare is accomplished. And that price is paid unto the last drop. Oh, it is true. I have sinned. And it is true that I cannot win that battle. But, oh, that battle, I may believe for just a moment that has been won for me. I have seen him in his preciousness. I have seen him in his suitability. I have seen him in the need of my soul and all my heart that has rejoiced. Oh, it has rejoiced in his salvation, not in my salvation. But it has rejoiced for a moment in what he has done. And I have, by moments, a little hope, a little expectation that it may still yet once be for me. Oh, congregation, the bride, she says, "I am black, but comely." Is that your language? May you ever see it in your life.
Because Satan, he says that there shall be nothing that defileth that shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. How can you come there? And for so long, then that mouth is so closed. And then you say the devil is right. But when the Lord will open it for just a moment, and when the Lord, he will show something of that robe, that blessed robe of his righteousness, that he has bought on Calvary's tree. And when that people may see, and that people, they may be clothed with that robe, so that they may sit at that wedding feast, then their mouth that is enlarged over their enemy, oh, they say, devil, it is true. From the crown of the head unto the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. No fruit from this tree henceforward forever. But, oh, the Lord has shown me for a moment what I can see. How did that Naaman, so full of leprosy, and then that servant, he came to him and he said, wash and be clean. And then to see that man, leprous, from the head to the foot, going down seven times into that Jordan, and to come up again, and his flesh that is made as the flesh of a little child. O devil, then I have heard it, that he says, come and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, and they shall be as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. O congregation, Hannah, I rejoice. I rejoice not in my salvation, but I rejoice in thy salvation. Where does it begin? Not there. Right here. Or has sin become your enemy? Has Satan become your enemy? Has the world become your enemy? Is it a grief that you carry such a heart as you go through the Meshach of this world? If sin has never become our enemy, we will never rejoice with God's people. But Christ, oh, he has come to deliver them. To deliver them from that triple-headed enemy. Oh, that they may be delivered from the greatest evil. And they may be brought unto the highest good. And that will end in the great glory of God. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we may acknowledge thee, and for thy help in this morning hour. Bless thy word. Thou art a surprising God. and thou art ever faithful, and despite all our iniquity. O give thy word place in the heart of each and every one of us, young and old. Instruct us in this thy truth. Give us to rejoice in thee. And wilt thou bring us safely to our places, forgiving all our sins. Help thy servant in this afternoon hour. Be on his right. Be on his left hand in thy mercy. And we ask it in the forgiveness of our sin. And for Jesus' sake, amen. Our closing psalter is number 427, stanza 3. And we ask you, after the singing of this psalter, to please remain seated. 427, the third stanza. The Lord's right hand is high exalted. Jehovah's strong and mighty hand, the vaunting enemy he halted, and made his chosen ones to stand. The third one, the third stanza of Psalter 427. Mr. Brunn, it is the last Sunday that you may be with us in this position as elder.
and you hope in the coming days to be leaving. And it is our desire to say first a few words. That work in the church, that is certainly something that is not strange to you. And we think of the labors that you may be given to do in the mission field, and then how that you may be given for 15 years now to serve in this congregation, first as deacon and afterwards as elder. And now the Lord is calling you to another place within His church. And we know that work in His church, that is the delight of your heart. We know it as a consistory. We know it as a congregation. Because if I may speak for consistory and congregation together, then I think we may say all together that it has been felt that you did not do your work here in this congregation as a mere duty, but that you may do this work with the love of your heart. And it is our desire then on behalf of consistory and congregation alike to thank you for all the labors that you may perform in our midst. And we hope that in the future that it may be as much, and that the Lord may make it even more a delight in the service of the Lord. And we know that that is but one side, because not only is there a delight, but there are also mountains. And we can tell you that you may be sure that if it is the Lord's work, that much will come against it, because the devil is not quiet. And then there will be enemies, hopefully not without, and yet they come. But those enemies, they are within. And Satan is strong, and you will feel also your weakness against those enemies. When we think about the servants of the Lord, as Elijah, as Elisha, as Jeremiah, then they had many enemies. But now we hope that this rejoicing of Hannah, that she may rejoice over all those enemies and all those inward speakers that are living in your heart, for everything that is still before you, that the Lord may put them to shame, and that your dependence may be upon Him from day to day, and that you may be given to say with Hannah, I rejoice in thy salvation. The Lord remember you, and the Lord go with you, strengthen you in the studies and in all the labors that you hope to perform. Also to Mrs. Braun, and to your children, then also to you, Mrs. Braun, as a congregation, we wish to extend our thanks for the labors that you have done also in our midst, because those labors, they were done here in our congregation, in the ladies' aid, and you may also have driven the bus for our children. And we may acknowledge those labors and thank you very much for them. And we hope that the Lord may go with you and stay also with your children that stay behind. When we think about Abraham, Abraham was commanded by the Lord to leave and Ur of the Chaldees. And we read that he obeyed, not knowing whither he went. And we know those thoughts, they must also be in your mind. What is now the future? We do not know it. But Abraham, he may follow the way of the Lord. May the Lord give that also you may be given that following grace with all your family together. The Lord remember you all together. Congregation, and we ask you to stand instead of the doxology, and we'll sing from Psalter 249, stanzas 4 and 5. Because on me he set his love, I will his constant Savior prove. And since to him my name is known, I will exalt him as my own. 4 and 5 of 249. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.